Hello, today we begin a little series entitled The Tents and the Churches. We're going to be looking in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 20. And it begins with a meeting. We read here in verse 4, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Get that phrase. They wanted a king so they could be like the nations. Well, God's messenger, which of course is Samuel, was not happy about that. It said the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel did what he should have done. He checked with the Lord. He said, and he prayed unto the Lord. Well, God's message for Samuel, we read in verse 7, "The Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Very important. Listen to that again. God said to Samuel, "They have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." So God's message continues down through here. It says, "According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also with thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." Well, Samuel was obedient. See, he didn't want this. There's not what he wanted, but we don't always get to deliver a message we want to deliver. Samuel told the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, "This king, he will take your sons. This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He shall take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties. And he will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of chariots. He will take your daughters," he said, "to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyard and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodless men and your asses and put them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you that day." Solemn warning here. "Like all the nations," they said. No, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, "Nay, but we will have a king over us." They wanted to be like the nations, that we also may be like all the nations. Now, it was God's purpose for Israel to live in their tents. Psalm 78, verse 55, "He made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents." He said in Numbers 24, "How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are, they spread forth as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of lin alloys which the Lord hath painted, and as cedar trees beside the waters." Now, the word tribe and tribes is found in the Bible over 350 times. God said, "I want Israel, these tribes, I want them to dwell in their tents." You'll find the word tent or tents in the Bible over 160 times. This was God's plan for Israel. But they didn't like his plan, and they refused to stay with it. God's plan for Israel was the priests would teach in their synagogues, and the men would go home, and they would do what the Bible says. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. God's plan for Israel was very plain. It was very simple. They had a great life. Just dwell in your tents. You know, today we say, well, boy, I can get all this work done. I can just go relax at the cottage or something. I can retire. They were already retired. They had a great life, but they weren't going to listen. Israel was divided into 12 tribes, and God had ordained priests to teach and in turn fathers to lead their families in the way of the Lord. Well, Israel followed God's plan for a while. In the wilderness, it was God's plan for the priests to teach the parents, and they would go home and teach the children and their family. And it was in this context that we read in Numbers 24, "How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel." When Joshua led Israel into the promised land, the plan remained intact for about 400 years. God's blessed them because they were obedient. And we read in Psalm 78, "God cast out the heathen also before them and divided them in inheritance by line and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents." Well, we got a problem. Those Philistines are coming. The Philistines were a threat to Israel. They'd been a threat to Israel before, and God took care of them. Well, now the elders of Israel regarded God's plan as just insufficient. It's not going to work. So Samuel gave them a solution. He said, "Prepare your heart unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." Well, Israel's leader decided they'd rather trust their own plan. So we read in 1 Samuel 8 and 4, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and said unto him, Make us a king to judge us like the nations. We want to do it like the nations." Now, God's purpose was to show himself powerful through his tribes, and it's the same today. 1 Corinthians, we read, "God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Well, God's people said, "We want to fight the battles like all the nations." When God's people trust God, God takes care of them. Zechariah 12:9 said, "I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem." Samuel pleaded with Israel not to go this direction. But we read, "Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us." He warned them again. He said, "Ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations, and ye have said unto him, Nay, but we will have a king over us." So they got their king. And quite frankly, at the beginning, things looked good. First king of Israel was King Saul. His principal focus was to conduct a confrontation against the Philistines, and they battled them and they won, and Israel's new organization appeared to be a much better plan. 1 Samuel 14, it says, "There was sore war against the Philistines all the days of Saul, and when Saul saw any young strong men or valiant men, he took them unto him." That's what Samuel said he would do, and he did it. Well, he was doing well, but then he overstepped his God-given boundaries and took some responsibilities that belonged to the prophet of God and not to the king. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done? Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue." Well, the next king was David. David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. His reign was regarded as Israel's golden age, but then he began to go the way of the kings of all the nations. In 2 Samuel 17, we read, "When thou art come into the land," God said, when the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me. God told them they were going to do that, and they did it. Like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. So he said, when you get to doing this king thing, you better do it my way. But, here's a very important, but he, the king, shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he shall multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. So he said, no horses. Don't you get in a bunch of horses. Why would they get horses? To fight their battles. Then he said, 17, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver or gold. Well, he multiplied the horses, he multiplied wives, and he multiplied silver and gold. Here in this portion of Scripture, we have six of David's wives that are mentioned. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem. We got to do it like all the kings do it. The kings, the important kings, they had big harems. And then he took his two wives there in 1 Samuel 7, 27 and verse number 3. And by the way, it refers to Abigail, Nabal's wife, back up there in verse 3, you notice, Abigail, the wife of Nabal. God didn't recognize this nonsense that David was going through. When David was a young lad out in the desert, he was a man after God's own heart. But now, what's he doing? You become like who you run with. I've said that so many times before. We always become like who we run with. And now he's running with the kings, and he's acting like the kings are acting. Well, in 2 Samuel 12:15, he had that affair with Bathsheba, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife, notice, not David's wife, no, it's Uriah's wife, bare unto David, and it was very sick. Well, God has a permissive will, and he has a perfect will. That's very important. 1 Samuel, after this all happened, when the kings, they set up their kings and so on, we read here in chapter 12, now therefore behold the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have desired, and behold the Lord has set a king over you, if, get that little word, if ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, and as it was against your fathers. So God said, now look, this is my permissive will. He's not going to disown his people because they've chosen a king. But he said, you better obey the word of God. Now therefore, behold your king whom you have chosen and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you, if ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. And so God had a permissive will. He said, okay, all right, it's not my perfect will for you. You have chosen this route. Samuel said unto the people, fear not, for ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, Samuel said, as for me, and this is the context of this verse we quoted so often, as for me, he said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord, serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. And so God says, all right, this is not my perfect will. This is my permissive will. And as long as you keep doing things the way God says to do them, and you let the priests teach, and then the fathers go home and teach their families and so on, that's going to be all right. I will bless you because you are my people. Well, our first three kings, first of all, there was Saul. Saul started well. He ended very poorly. The prophet at that time was Samuel. Then our second king was David. He started out well. He ended very poorly. The prophet at that time was Samuel and also Nathan. Remember, he went to David and said, thou art the man, and accused him of what happened with Bathsheba. The third king was Solomon. Solomon started out well, but he finished very poorly. And the prophet at that time was Nathan. After these three kings, 85% of the kings that were in Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They said, nay, but we will have a king. God is not mocked. We read in Judges 13:1, the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. Now the Bible says these things, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And in our next program, we're going to look at the other side of the tents. We're going to look at the churches and what God has to say for this age in which we are living in. Be sure and be with us for our next lesson.